You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
We're talking Rays baseball today with Bill Chastain, our Rays reporter. It is Matt Wehmeyer filling in for Tim McMaster. And, Bill, we thank you for the time. And, Bill, we're speaking here on a Wednesday afternoon, which means the day before on Tuesday, Matt Wieters signed a free agent deal 2 years to join the Washington Nationals, even though it had been heavily speculated that he could join the Tampa Bay Rays. Obviously, that's not going to happen. So, Bill, when you kind of assess why this did not happen, is it because maybe the price tag too high on a guy who has some miles on him and some injuries on him, or is it more of the fact that the Rays simply like the guys that they've got and they want to go into 2017, like I said, with the guys that they do have, and they didn't feel that they needed a guy like Wieters at this time?
No, I think it was mostly just a case of they would have loved to have him. He would have, he fit a lot of places for him, as far as he would have been the starting catcher to start the year. He could have played first. Of course, he switch hit, so he could have given him a right-handed bat as well. But it was all along it was going to be whether or not Wieters had any other places to go, because he was not going to get the money. It was going to have to be a one-year deal and for less money with the Rays all along, and it just didn't come to fruition.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So he is now a member of the Nationals, and you pointed out all the reasons why he would have been a good fit with this Rays team. But, Bill, as it is, talk about the guys that are in the mix in camp. You've got, kind of that wild card, that X factor in Wilson Ramos. He's obviously battling back from that serious injury at the end of last season. So when he does return to full health, how do you see this whole thing shaking out? Does he get inserted as the starter? Does he get a chance to compete? How do you think this whole jigsaw puzzle kind of falls into place here?
Well, first, I think he'll be back as a DH and kind of work his way in as the DH. And, of course, his offense, you put that in the Rays lineup, and that's going to help right away. I think until then, you're going to see, two of the three catchers are either going to be Luke Maley, Kirk Casale, or Sucre. And then probably by the time Wilson is probably catching, then you'll have one of those three will continue to be with the team. So, and I don't mean not with the organization, but I mean, with the major league team. So I would, I think they're fairly comfortable with what they have in Maley and Casale. They're learning about Sucre. So I think they're in a little better shape catching-wise than they were at the start of last year.
And, Bill, for fans that may not be terribly familiar with the guys that you brought up, Sucre, Maley, and I'm drawing a blank on the third one, of course, the third catcher you just mentioned. Yes, thank you. Of that trio, when you assess these guys, offensively and defensively, who is the best with the bat? Who do you think is the most advanced right now with the glove?
Well, I really haven't seen Sucre much yet. I know Cash has talked about both Maley and Casale. Now you got me saying it. Both Maley and Casale, that they both look a lot more confident. Of course, they've got more time in the majors now, too. So Casale might have a little more power, or he's shown a little more power in the past. Maley might end up being a little better average hitter, but both of them look like pretty solid guys defensively.
It'll be interesting to see how that battle shakes out here in spring training, and to see once Wilson Ramos gets to full health, like you said, very likely he's going to be the DH, but he will get a chance to work himself in behind the plate where he once was. It'll be an interesting mix for Kevin Cash and company as the 2017 season wears on. Bill, to switch gears here a little bit, Evan Longoria has kind of made some waves in recent days. He's been very vocal about his displeasure with the trade that sent his friend Logan Forsythe to the L.A. Dodgers, the trade that netted the Rays that very promising young pitching talent in Jose De Leon. And, in my estimation, it seems rather out of character for a guy like Evan Longoria who, unless I'm missing something, does not seem to be a very vocal guy. He doesn't seem to be a guy that creates a lot of controversy. Not saying that this is a big, huge thing, but again, for him, it just seems like it's a little bit out of character to be as outspoken as he's been. How do you kind of assess this whole situation right now?
Well, now, first, I haven't heard him being vocal lately. I know once the trade was made, he said a few comments. I think more than anything, he was disappointed. He liked, what Forsythe brought to the field and to the clubhouse. And then he's kind of since, you know, been like, you know, he understands what the, you know, the team makes their moves and he understands how they operate. So I think it was just, you know, kind of initially being disappointed because he liked what Forsythe brought to the team. But, you know, and I haven't heard him saying anything during spring training. And of course, he's been sick the past 2 days. So if he has said more than that after the trade than what he did after the trade, I missed that.
And, you know, can this potentially, you know, put a guy like Jose De Leon in a tough situation where it's, you know, it's tough for anybody to get traded, but I think it's got to be even tougher for a young guy who doesn't have a track record or much of a track record to get traded and, you know, sent across the country, you know, at that. Can that put him in a difficult spot, you know, even though you said – Evan has not said much lately, but still, the comments were made, the comments were out there. What kind of a position could that put a guy like Jose De Leon?
Oh, I don't think it puts him in a bad situation at all. You know, this is not the first time the Rays have done this. It might be the first time Longoria said something about it, but, you know, they all understand it's a business and how the Rays do their, you know, how the Rays operate, you know, going for younger talent. And then when that talent matures, you know, it might be about time to send them somewhere else, but no, not at all. I wouldn't think that's any kind of pressure on him at all.
Yeah, hopefully that's the case, and hopefully this turns out to be the proverbial win-win trade because, you know, second base has been a black hole for the Dodgers for a long time now, despite their recent success, and the Rays get another controllable young arm in Jose De Leon who could really blossom into something special in the coming years. And, Bill, just to kind of look at the broad overall picture, as most teams now have been in camp for about 7 or 8 days, I don't think the Rays are any different here. So in that first week plus, give me some observations, some things that you've seen, things that you've heard that have really kind of stood out to you in this first week or so of Rays camp.
Well, I just think overall they look like they have some pretty good depth. There are some concerns. You know, you've got some guys coming back from off-season surgeries, Colby Rasmus, Steven Souza, and Matt Duffy. All of them seem to be making progress and, you know, don't really – you know, appear that they will be in any danger of missing opening day, but you never know how that'll go. But overall, the depth looks really good. Their starting pitching depth looks really good. They got a lot of guys in there competing for bullpen spots. Competition's good. So I think right now at this stage of spring, everything's all system go, and they're looking pretty good.
And in particular, one guy I want to ask you about is, you know, Chris Archer. This is a guy at this time last year that many were saying could be a favorite to win the 2016 AL Cy Young Award. That obviously did not happen. He had probably the worst season of his pro career. He had a lot of bad luck, too, along the way. Is there a sense that, you know what, like, this can't possibly happen 2 years in a row for a guy that talented, for a guy with his repertoire? So would you say that the expectations, strange as it may sound, considering the down year he had, that maybe expectations are even a bit higher this year than they were at this time last year?
I don't know if I would go that far, but, you know, he had a pretty good second half, and I think the 19 losses were a little bit of an aberration. He did say he probably put a little too much pressure on himself the first part of the season. You look at his numbers the second half, and it looked like he kind of got back on track. You can't deny, you know, the stuff he has. So sooner or later, I think that's going to come together, and you're going to see the kind of season that everybody's expecting of him.
Yeah, I would certainly think so. And like you said, you brought up the 19 losses, but I still think the, you know, those peripheral numbers that the StatCast guys love, the Sabermetrics guys love too, you know, the Ks per nine, those were all still right there in line with his better seasons prior to 2016. So no reason to think that he won't bounce back here in 2017 and be the ace that everybody expects Chris Archer to be. Bill, to begin to wrap up here, very interesting story you had about Nick Franklin, and it turns out that not just this past offseason, but for the past two off seasons, he's been an Uber driver. And I got to think that, you know, we've seen and we've heard of some guys with some different off-season occupations. But where does this one rank amongst guys that you've associated with over the years, a guy driving an Uber, you know, for the past two off seasons?
Well, it strikes you as funny. I mean, that's for sure. You know, and any time I know we saw him the other day, he had a box of, you know, what looked like a care package. You know, you'd have goodies. And, of course, we had to ask him if that's what he was putting in his back seat for his customers, but, you know, to try and get a good rating. But he has a pretty good sense of humor and has fun with it. So, but, you know, kind of does set him out as a little bit of a character, doesn't it?
Yeah, it certainly does. And I think that, you know, a lot of people now in the offseason this year are going to be on the lookout for Mr. Franklin, picking them up from the airports or whatever the case may be. But that's definitely a very entertaining offseason occupation to have, no question. A good place to wrap this one up. Bill Chastain, our thanks to you. And we'll do it again at this time next week. In the meantime, it's Matt Wehmeyer signing off for MLB.com Extras, Tampa Bay Rays.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.